In the name of Jesus, welcome. Welcome, especially those of you who are guests and newcomers among us. God bless you with the light, peace, and joy that we as people of Queen Anne Lutheran Church experience each time we gather in God's holy name. At this time, I invite you to rise as you're able in body or in spirit for the gathering hymn. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Lord, have mercy.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Sovereign God, you turn your greatness into goodness for all the peoples on earth. Shape us into willing servants of your kingdom, and make us desire always and only your will, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
This reading is from the last of four passages in Isaiah that are often called servant songs. Christians are probably most familiar with this servant song. In light of Christian faith, the servant's healing ministry and redemptive suffering are understood to be fulfilled in the life and death of Christ. A reading from the book of Isaiah. Surely he has borne our infirmities and carried our diseases, yet we accounted him stricken, struck down by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole, and by his bruises we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have all turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By a perversion of justice he was taken away. Who could have imagined his future? For he was cut off from the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people. They made his grave with the wicked and his tomb with the rich, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him with pain. When you make his life an offering for sin, he shall see his offspring and shall prolong his days. Through him the will of the Lord shall prosper. Out of his anguish he shall see light. He shall find satisfaction through his knowledge. The righteous one, my servant, shall make many righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will allot him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he poured out himself to death and was numbered with the transgressors, yet he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Word of God, word of life. Please join me in the reading of the psalm. Because you have made the Lord your refuge and the Most High your habitation.
No evil will befall you, nor shall affliction come near your dwelling.
For God will give the angels charge over you to guard you in all your ways.
On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against the stone.
You will tread upon the lion, cub, and viper. You will trample down the lion and the serpent. They will call me, and I will answer them. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. With long life, I will satisfy them and show them my salvation. Using imagery from Scripture and from Jewish worship practices, Jesus is presented as the great high priest who is obedient to God's saving plan. Through his suffering and death, he has become the source of eternal salvation. A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Every high priest chosen from amongst mortals is put in charge of things pertaining to God on their behalf, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He is able to deal gently with the ignorant and wayward, since he himself is subject to weakness. And because of this, he must offer sacrifice for his own sins as well as for those of the people. And one does not presume to take this honor, but takes it only when called by God, just as Aaron was. So also Christ did not glorify himself in becoming a high priest, but was appointed by the one who said to him, "You are my son, today I have begotten you." As he says also in another place, "You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered, and having been made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, having been designated by God a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Word of God, word of life. Please rise for the reading of the gospel.
Of eternal life. Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to Jesus and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask you." And he said to them, "What is it you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They replied, "We are able." Then Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink. And with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the 10 heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. And so Jesus called them and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Christ. Along with Peter, James and John belong to the inner circle. And perhaps it was that distinction that emboldened them to request a carte blanche. They want to reverse the order Jesus had previously insisted on. They want Jesus to do their will rather than they doing Jesus' will. But they preface this request by calling Jesus teacher. And a teacher is always intent on uncovering what's in the heart. And nothing uncovers the heart like voicing desire. The first desire made it clear that they are fixated on themselves and are in hot pursuit of something else. So, without answering their question, Jesus inquires about what they want. Their question has been answered with a question. And the teacher has turned the tables. These two sons of Zebedee want to flank Jesus in glory. Now, was the image of the transfiguration with Elijah and Moses on either side of Jesus their model? It just took place in the last chapter. What is in their hearts are prestige and power. And Jesus is the star to which they have hitched this aspiration. And as soon as Jesus hears what they want, he knows they do not know he's the wrong star for glory hounds. What Jesus knows is a process, a cup of sorrow becomes a cup of salvation, a baptism that is both death and resurrection. This definitely refers to Jesus' upcoming passion and resurrection, but it also means the way of life Jesus advocates for his followers. Denying yourself, taking up your cross, and losing your life for the sake of the gospel and for the sake of others in service. Death and resurrection come as a package. Also, the attitude shouldn't be bearing with bad times in order to get to good times. Dying and rising are two sides of the one experience of life and freedom. James and John do not hesitate, but have they grasped the significant way that Jesus has changed their desire? Since they've agreed to the cup and to the baptism, oh, Jesus can grant this request. Anyone who follows Jesus can be sure the pattern of his life will be the pattern of our life. Oh, it may not be the exact same conflict that Jesus precipitated, and yet the path, our path, will be death and resurrection, and not an endless upward escalator to glory. So their original request cannot be granted. Jesus doesn't control everything, but Jesus follows the will of God and trusts that God's plan will be fulfilled in the way God desires it. What a frustrating ending to their grab for glory. They get the cross and resurrection, but the right and left hand places are not in Jesus' gift. And so the goal that drives them can no longer be this form of self-aggrandizement. This gospel, according to Mark, has stressed all the way from the beginning that putting others first entails denying ourselves and taking up our cross. Denying yourself points to what we will have to give up in order to serve others. And often these things are the things that make us feel secure in the social world. Status, wealth. And although denying yourself certainly involves an interior attitude of detachment, it also means some degree of actual relinquishment. Taking up your cross points to all the persecution we will receive as we engage in a life of putting others first, because it's so countercultural. And our service to others is not a subservient, oh, whatever you want. James and John may have got this impression from Jesus, and so they bluntly ask him to fulfill their fantasies. But Jesus makes it clear that he is not available for that project. And neither are we. Service means discerning the lure of God in the life of others and committing ourselves to their response. This commitment may bring us into conflict with people who are invested in maintaining oppressive structures. So, in order to be faithful to the service Jesus calls us to, we will have to take up our cross. But there is great joy in fashioning a new humanity, a new world, a spirit-filled humanity. For we find Christ Jesus is in the one who needs our service and our care. In his name, amen. Thank you.
Challenged by God's word in Christ, let us pray for the church, the world, and the whole creation. Holy One, we give thanks for all servant leaders of the church, blessed bishops, pastors, and deacons, especially Shelley, Dan, and John, with humble wisdom, and ground them in your love. Lord, in your mercy. Creative One, we give thanks for the delicate balance of the natural world. Kindle in us a spirit of caring strength in the preservation of habitats, food availability, and centers of refuge, that all wildlife may thrive. Lord, in your mercy. Empowering One, fill the leaders of governments with a spirit of service that prioritizes those on the margins due to job loss, underemployment, unsafe working conditions, and immigration status. May economic equity be achieved for all people. Lord, in your mercy. People of the Lord, for whom or what else do the people of God pray this day? God of loving kindness, we pray that you bless each person present here today, that you accompany them in their joys and sorrows, that you empower them with faith in the face of trials, and that you give them the spirit of goodwill towards others. We pray also for Pastor Dan, for Bruce's family, for Valerie's family, for Pat's family, for Wayne, for Lee, for Angie and Jessica, for James, Allie's friend Sarah, for Jackie and Dylan and their families, for Kurt, Lisa, and Malachi, for Eunice, for Bill, for John's family, Samuel and Zion and their mother, for Scott, for Beckett, for Almaz, Awatosh, and Mulugeta, for Matt's mother, Jean, for Finley, Jean, Jan, Richard, Barb, and Hildy. Lord, in your mercy. Saving One, we give thanks for the disciples, James and John, and all saints who have faithfully served you. We rejoice in a promised place at the feast of victory that we receive by your grace alone. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, O God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in the saving grace you freely give, both now and forever. Amen.
So, this is all quite amazing, isn't it? When I walked into the sanctuary this morning and saw, I was short of breath. I've served churches for 26 years now, and I don't think I've ever seen so many beautiful quilts in one worship space, let alone doing it twice a year. Fantastic. I can tell you, since I've been here, that the quilt making is not only driven by strong coffee and sweets on Wednesday mornings, but also big hearts, big loving hearts. So just for a moment, could I invite everyone involved in the quilting to stand up for a moment? Even if you've donated fabric or thread, please stand up so we can acknowledge you. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, yes, yes. Thank you. And I know other hands were involved in boxing up all these other wonderful supplies that are very much needed in different parts of the world. So we get to enjoy them for the day and bless them and send them on their way. So if you'd like to raise a hand or just put your hand on one of the wonderful quilts you may be sitting on. God, our neighbors around the world are in need of hope. Your Spirit is a mighty force. Your whispers of hope bring light into the world. Open our hearts and hands to see your presence in our neighborhoods and across the world. God, we give you thanks for the pieces of fabric, thread, sewing machines, and the items collected for the kits. May their presence be a sign of hope. May these quilts wrap our neighbors in unending love, and may these kits offer dignity and healing.
Jesus, help us reach out and hope to our neighbors.
God, we give thanks for all the hands that fashioned hope into a quilt, for the hands that collected and sorted, for the hands that continually open wider so that no one feels left out. God, we ask you to guide the staff and partners at Lutheran World Relief. May their voices and hands be a beacon of hope. Keep them safe. Keep them filled with your strength and perseverance.
Jesus, help us share a taste of hope with our neighbors.
God, be with our neighbors who will receive these gifts. May they be wrapped in love. May they taste your goodness. May they touch signs of your hope. Whether or not we know their names or where they live, they are our neighbors, our brothers and sisters in Christ. We pray all this in the name of Jesus, the one who is our hope.
Amen.
Please rise as you're able. Recognizing God's abundant hope, go and be a sign of hope to our neighbors near and far, offering hands to hold, sweet scents of justice, and a feast of God's goodness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
And the peace of Christ be with you always. Please share a sign of that peace with your neighbor. Peace to you.
Peace to you, too.
Peace to you. Good to see you. Peace to you. Peace, Denny. Peace to you. Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah,
really
yeah. Thanks. Peace to you. Peace, Aaron. Peace to you. Peace to you. Peace. Peace, Liv.
Hey there.
Peace, 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 Brent. Yeah, thank you. Peace, peace, Connie.
Welcome back.
Congratulations on your anniversary.
Thank you so much.
Peace.
Peace.
Peace, brother. Peace. Peace to you. Peace. Thank you. Peace, Rich. Peace. Peace to you. Thank you.
Peace, Chloe.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Peace.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is our duty and delight that we should everywhere and always
offer thanks and praise to you, O God, through Jesus Christ, who calls us to deny ourselves and follow the way of the cross. And so, with the church on earth, all creation and the host of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy are you, God of power and love. Heaven and earth fill with your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in your name. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest.
On the night when Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, broke it, gave thanks, and gave it to the disciples to eat, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body given into death for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "Take, drink. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Knowing that we are loved, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven,
save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Come and taste the joy of God. We'll commune this side first.
Mercy on us, mercy on us.
Send us now to
welcome others and to be at peace with one another. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Again, welcome to those of you who are newcomers and guests among us. We are richer for your presence. And if you have a little time, please join us for fellowship. As you exit the sanctuary, just turn left. You'll smell the coffee. You'll sense that there are sweet things in the air as well, and wonderful conversation. Okay, the announcers are lined up. Kyle, please. Yes.
Next Sunday, we celebrate the Festival of the Reformation, and we will have, in addition to our services at 8 and 10:30, we'll have a third service that day. Join us at 4 o'clock for a choral vespers service, a rather meditative service with a lot of music spanning several centuries. It'll be based on the service of evening prayer that's in the hymnal, but we will have an abundance of other music as well from composers historic and also modern from the 20th century. We have a big commitment from Queen Anne Fine Arts Fund as well as from our choir. We will be bringing in about 10 freelance professional singers as well as 5 string players. Our choir is meeting at 2 o'clock on Sunday as well as our normal rehearsals midweek. We have 2 Tuesday evening rehearsals with our guest singers. So a lot of preparation and planning and good work going into this, and would love to see a full congregation, a full assembly that day. So please plan to be here at 4 o'clock next Sunday, Reformation Sunday. Thanks.
And, of course, Kyle's middle name is Modest, and he will be performing in an organ recital this afternoon at 4 p.m. at Bethany Presbyterian, right on the main strip. And if you notice, this past week, there are posters with his face on it. So it should be an extraordinary time this afternoon. And along with his modesty, he obviously doesn't know how to say no to music. So the more the merrier, and I'm with that all the way. Please, Magdalena.
I have 2 things to say. First off, thank you to Sharon Magnuson for hosting our forum today. If you weren't there, she talked about her role with the ELCA and how Lutheran Disaster Response and Lutheran and other related ministries. So thank you to her for hosting, and thank you to everyone who came. Secondly, thank you to everyone who came to the tea yesterday. It was absolutely lovely. Thank you to everyone who brought food. We really appreciated it. And a special thanks to Candy, Kathy, and Amy for and the people who cleaned up. That was amazing. Thank you all so much.
Thank you. Yeah. Nothing left for the ants. Please, Lynn.
Good morning. The day after the election, if you need some quiet time, some space to be in community without having to talk to anyone, we will be having a silent sip and read event where we have damsel sellers coming in. They will have glass pours of wine available. Bring your favorite book. You can sit and read while enjoying the wine. And then after that, there will be a reading from a local author from her upcoming book, Mother of Rome by Lauren Baer. There will also be a table that's put together by Queen Anne Book Company, highlighting both Lauren Baer's books as well as other books that they think you might enjoy that are related. After the silent reading portion, you can sit and enjoy your company, maybe get a new book recommendation from someone around you, or just enjoy the quiet space to be in community.
Yeah, thank you. It's a new initiative. It's great for us, a great opportunity for us to be out in the community and meet more neighbors, which is always good. Thank you, Lynn. And Candy, please.
I won the coin toss. Richard and I stand outside of the narthex every time it's time to box the quilts and say, who's going to talk about this? I won. Pastor John had the people who actually sewed the quilts stand, but I want to thank every one of you who gave money, bought supplies, wrapped up these towels, put the things in the backpacks that Jenny Porter made sure that we had backpacks this year. Thanks to each and every one of you for the parts you do to make this a great activity. Here at Queen Anne, we have a tradition of our church members boxing the quilts. Not only the women who sew the quilts, but all of our church members boxing the quilts, making sure these boxes are closed and labeled, weighed, then put back in the chapel so that they can be sent later on this month. We need your help. You know, about 15 years ago, the older women who are now in their 90s said, we can't do this. And it's like, and some of us who are going, we can't do what? Well, we can't physically box the quilts. We no longer can do this. So we said, how can we do this? We said, let's get the church members to help. So that's where you come in on this. Before you go get your cup of coffee, or get the cup of coffee, then come back, the quilts need to be folded and put in the boxes. I saw a stack of boxes out in the narthex already. They're already put together this year so that Kyle didn't have to listen to the tape being screech, screech, screech during the middle of the last song. The boxes are ready to come in. The more quilts you get the one box, the better. That makes the box sturdier, so when they stack 20 boxes high, the bottom one doesn't just go flat. So that is my answer. This year was the first year, well, the second time. The hurricanes down in the south, we sent quilts and towels to many of the communities that needed help. That's very unusual for Lutheran World Relief to have something in the States, but the people who have wondered about that, this year was two different, they responded both to Florida and to the Carolinas with aid. And there were pictures online of them giving out quilts to a veterans group who was, housing had been wiped out, and giving towels, kits as well. You think about not having anything and how these things help. So the last step is that folding. Fold them in quarters so that they fit into the boxes that are the medium-sized moving boxes. We can't make boxes heavy. Well, we could, but boxes heavier than 40 pounds, we get yelled at by the loaders. They don't appreciate boxes that are too heavy. I mean, I think if the women can help shove them down the hallway, surely the guys can get them on the truck somehow. But just know that boxes, so we fold the quilts, we count to see how many quilts make it into the box, we label the box, you know, the big number, 5 on the box or whatever, and we put labels. And then we weigh the quilts before they leave for the chapel. Thank you. Oh, one last thing. The bulletin says that the envelopes are out in the narthex. I found 4. There may be more someplace. Lynn, you may know the answer. But according to one of the counters today, you can take any pew envelope, write on the back what it's for, taking back, you know, the shipping fund, your name, your envelope number. It does not have to be one of the designated quilting envelopes. Thank you.
All right, thank you again, quilters. Thanks, Candy, for helping head this up with Rich.
The last one, there is a new sign-up sheet for home visits from Pastor. And oh my goodness, like my time is over halfway finished here. I can't believe it. So, yeah. So, the sign-up sheet goes dates up until Thanksgiving, and then We're into the new church here in Advent, and you get your pastor back. So, good. Please rise as you're able for a blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.